Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamos Daf Ayin Vav. We are holding two lines from the top of the Amud. And picking up from yesterday, where we learned that a Pitzua Daka, a Kruz Shafcha, an individual who sustained an injury in the area of the Eiver HaZachar, which makes him unable to bear children, he may not marry a Bas Yisrael. Amongst those injuries is Nikav, a puncture in that conduit which is meant to transport the Zera. Says the Gemara Omar Vyudomar Shmuel, Nikav, suppose the Eiver HaZachar sustained a Nekev, a puncture, Vinestam, and then it got plugged up. It appears like it repaired itself. How do we discern whether or not it was really repaired? What's the test? Kol she'ilu nikri. We take a look and see if this fellow experiences an accumulation. Nikri is lashon keri, an accumulation of zera, which exerts pressure in that area. And what happens as a result of a nikra? It tears apart. It reopens. That's an indication of an incomplete recovery. It wasn't properly healed, and therefore he was puzzled. Vimlav, but otherwise, if when the pressure is exerted, there is no reopening of that nekev, then we know it was properly healed, kosher, he's okay. Havi bar Rav, Rav wanted to know, where is this nekev to be found? Heich, where? Ilei melamata matara, is it below the atara? As we learned yesterday, the concern is only from the Atara, that's the ridge, the raised flesh at the tip of the Eiver, from the Atara back towards the Guf. That is called Gid. That is the Iker Eiver. But from the Atara downward, away from the Guf. In that area, there's no concern, Rashi told us in the Mishnah, not just Bistra Ba'amas like flesh. It's not the true Gid. So where is this Nekev? Ilei mulamata matar, below the Atara, away from the Guf. Why test? Why have to investigate whether it was healed or not? Afilu nichros nami, even if it was totally removed, there's no concern. Skip the hole, even if it's not there. It doesn't affect him. Oh, and Rashi adds, what about lamala me'atara, from the Atara back towards the Guf? Says Rashi, there is no accumulation of zera there. That's not where it accumulates. That's not where the pressure is generated. And in that case, once it looks like it's healed, it's okay. So this formula, this point of testing him through an accumulation of zera, cannot be below the Atara. Even if it's gone, it's okay. It can't be above the Atara. We never have this issue. It doesn't accumulate at that point. Ela ba'atara atzma leaves us with only one option, the actual atara area itself, the tip of the gid. As the Ritva explains, in that area, if it's nikri v'nikra, if it's accumulated and then tears apart, then we're concerned that it will tear back up towards the guf, which is above the atara. So if that's what happens, you see an accumulation, then it tears back up, makes its way up towards the guf. It's above the Atara. The injury in that mokim is a concern. It's Manami. We learned likewise the name of Omar Av Mori Bar Mar Omar Mar Ukum Shmo Nikev Batara Atzma. If there was a nekev in the Atara itself, Vinayastam and it was plugged, we do this test. Kol Shilo Nikri Vinikra Apostle. If we see him experiencing the carry, the accumulation of the Zara, and then we see it tearing apart, you know it wasn't properly healed. He is positive in Lav Kasha, but otherwise he's okay. So how do we do this test? Sholach le Rava. Braid the Rabba. He sent a question to Rav Yosef. Yilam Deinu Rabbeinu, can you teach us? Hechi Avdinen. How do we bring about this carry, accumulation of Zera? Amalei, he says, very simple. Maisino Nahamo Chamimo. We bring some warm bread, this ari, barley bread. Uman chinale, we place it at the prukri, at the anal area, which warms them up and brings about an accumulation of zera umikri. Then we take a close look and see how it affects the nekev. Omar Abaye, why go to such great lengths? Atu kuli alma. Do you mean to say that everybody is on the same level as Yaakov Avinu Havoy? Everybody is a Yaakov Avinu who is so insulated from these concepts. Dechsibbe, the pasuk by Yaakov describes him as Kaychi v'reishis oini, right? He said, this is my first expression of Zera, Reuven, right? Shaloi ro'a kerar b'yamov. He never experienced any carry. Not everybody is on that same level. Who's so insulated and so protected? You don't need to go to such great lengths, the warm bread, etc., to bring about a carry. It must be much a more simple method of doing it. Elar Abaye, this is how you do it. Ma'avrinan kamei, we put before him big day tzivayin, colorful clothing of a woman that evoked the accumulation of zera. Amar Rava, you think everybody is so susceptible? With just a little thing like that, suddenly there's Kerry. Ati kuli almo, ati kuli almo. Everybody's barzilai hagil adihu, are susceptible to this concept. Like this fellow barzilai hagil adihu in the time of David HaMelech, he was overcome with, he was very involved with znus, and he indeed is very sensitive to these types of things. But typically, it wouldn't affect a person to that extent. Just a little big day tzivayin, it wouldn't do the job. El Machavarta, rather the correct approach is Kiddush Shanan Mikara, as we explained earlier with the warm bread. Tana Rabbanan, Nikav Pasul. If he experienced a nekev in the Gid, he is Pasul. Meshu Shoysis, because now the Zera sort of flows and trickles instead of being emitted properly. Nistam, but then it gets plugged and healed. Kasher, he's back to normal. Vipneshu Mailed, because going forward, he has the ability to bear children. Vizel Psol Shechayzel Echshirer. Here's an example of a psol, which can be reinstated, which can revert back to kashrus. The healing process, it really is effective in this case. Now, this is a proper effective process. Zel, limutimai, as opposed to what? What is considered an ineffective healing process? Lamute, as opposed to krum. You have some sort of superficial, flimsy scab. She'ola machma smaka bereya. This is aloch and trefes, right? So an animal has a reya, lung. Well, you notice a hole, and it was covered up by some krum, some flimsy membrane, which was generated machma smaka because of a little wound next to it. And that sort of spread over, covered the hole. The inner krum, it's not considered a proper membrane, a proper plug, a proper closure of that hole. So by the nekev in the Eivar HaZocher, here as well, you have to make sure that it's properly healed, properly closed up, not just superficially with some sort of membrane. So how do you go about it? How do you create a proper plug? Sholach li Rav Idi bar Rav, Abaye, sent Abaye a shaylei chavdinon, how do we ensure proper healing? My sinon sa'arta, we take a sharp barley. Umasartinale, we scrape around the hole, which generates more, material and pus and whatever, not pus, but blood or clotting material. Umay sinon tarba, then we bring some fatty material. Vishayfinan, we smear it in the area to keep it wet and lubricated. Umay sinon shum shana, we bring a worm, gamla, a large worm, umanach tinale, we stick it right into that hole to pluck it, upaskinale, the ratio, we remove its head so it stays there, and slowly but surely, as the ant, which is no longer alive, it shrivels and recedes, the flesh around that hole will now cover up and slowly heal the hole. So the plug, the shumshana, keeps it, insulated and germ-free. And this allows for a proper, gradual healing process. With that, dafka sa'arta, only use a piece of barley. A parzala, but using a piece of metal, can actually bring detrimental results. Mizraf, zarif, it can add to the injury. Vahani milikatan, this only applies to a small hole, which can heal properly. Avel gadol, if it's a large hole, it won't heal properly. Mikpuli, the surrounding flesh will just roll and peel back and not close properly. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, here comes another chiddush. Hamatal mayim shtei mekomes pasul. As we learned yesterday, there's a conduit specific for the urine, a conduit for the zera. Suppose the barrier between the two conduits gets disrupted, and this fellow is now going to be matal mayim, as Meir Glaim, through the regular channel, also it's going to be diverted through the channel of the zera. Pasul, this fellow is considered kreshavcha, etc. He can't bear children because it interferes with the proper development and flowing and emission of the zera. That's Rabba's shit. Rabba, the son of Rav Amar Rava, we don't paskin like this. Less helchas alekivra. We don't paskin like this son. Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, we don't hold to this halacha. Veloika Abba, nor like the father who was Rav Huna. What does he mean? We don't paskin like son, bra, hadamar, and halacha that we just mentioned, because we hold that even if the shesen is to be found coming out of the other area, it's still not going to interfere. The zera still has the ability to run through it properly, develop, and emit properly. Abba, the halacha of the father as well. We don't agree with that. Who was that Rav Huna? Damar Rav Huna. No sham hamasoidalos zubuzu. If you find that a woman interact with each other physically in an inappropriate way, psulos lekuhuna, makes them possible lekuhuna, he considers them to be a zayna because they're imitating the way men and women interact. That's Rav Huna's chiddush. We don't hold to that. Vafilu l'Rav Eliezer, because we hold that even Rav Eliezer, who has an extreme shita, the Omar Ponoya Bo ala Panuya, an unmarried man, interacts with an unmarried woman as married, Shiloh Shamishus, not for the sake of marriage. He holds Aso Zoina. She now constitutes a Zoina. Even Rabbi Lezer would agree that in our case there's no Zoina. Hana Mili Isha. That's only if a man interacts with a woman as married. Aval Isha, when it's between two females, although it's inappropriate, Pritzusa Ba'am, it's merely Pritzus, inappropriateness, but it doesn't make her a Zoina, and she's still kosher to marry a Kohen. The Rambam, however, brings this Lalach. He says, sure, it doesn't make her a Zoina, but it's Kemasai Eretz Mitzrayim, it's the Te'evi, it's inappropriateness which was exhibited in Mitzrayim. He says he's not allowed to do it. In fact, there's a shaylan the Achronim how to learn the Rambam. Some learn at the Rambam hold it's awesome and on Torah. That's Kemasai Eretz Mitzrayim, and some learn it's from the Rabbanon. In any case, female-female interaction is asur and is sourced in this Gemara right here. Continues the Mishnah. Pitzur Daka Krushavcha. These individuals who are unable to bear children, although they cannot marry an ordinary Bas Yisrael, but mutaren begiyores umeshechreres, they can marry a convert, they can marry a maidservant who was set free. Why? Ve'enon asurin ele mulave bekal. They cannot intermarry with the call, the original call, but the supplemental individuals, the ones who joined us, the geyores, meshechreres, are allowed to marry these fellows. Shenemar, the pasuk says, lo yovei petzur daka krus shavcha hu bikal Hashem. Boom, named Rav Sheshes. The following question was posed to Rav Sheshes. Now that we know that a Petzur Dak is limited in his choices, he can't marry a regular Bas Yisrael. What about a Petzur Dak who is a Kohen? Typically, a Kohen cannot marry a Giyorus, a Mishachrerus. But if it's a Petzur Dak who is unable to marry a Yisraelis, do we allow him to marry the other individuals? Mahu Begiyorus, a Mishachrerus, can he marry those? What's the question? Why would you say yes? Big Dusha say Kaivi Asr. On the one hand, you can say, look, a Kain is a Kain. Even though he can't have children, even though he can't marry a Yisraelis, he still maintains his Kedusha status, the Asr, and therefore cannot interact with a Geyerus and Mishachrerus. Or perhaps you can say, look, La Big Dusha say Kai Vishari. The fact that he cannot marry a Yisraelis indicates that he's not designated. You know, in the context of marriage, he's no longer designated. Kedusha means designation. He no longer has that same designation as an ordinary Kohen. I cannot marry Israelis. So I'm not reserved for Israelis. So perhaps I lose some of that designation. I lose some of that status. He's sort of a downgraded Kohen. Vishari, and therefore can marry others as well, like Yeris and Mishachreris. So in the context of marriage, he sort of now broadens his options. That was the question. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes responds in the affirmative. In fact, we have a right from a Bryce. Tani Sua. We have a brayso which says, but Sua Daka Yisrael. He's comparing the kind to the Yisrael. A Yisrael has this condition. Cannot marry a Yisraelis, but Mutar ben Nesina. He can marry an Isha from the Nesinim, as one of the seven nations who were present in Yisrael when Yisrael arrived. They converted. Typically, we don't intermarry with Nesinim, but this Yisrael, who's a Ptzur Daka, who cannot marry a regular Yisraelis. He's no longer meant for Yisraelis. He's not designated for marriage with a Yisraelis. He's been downgraded. And in the realm of marriage, he's been downgraded. He lost some of his status, and therefore he's Mutar ben Nesina, and likewise by Yosdi Kayan, should be treated in the same way. If you'll tell me that the Yisrael, who is a Ptzur Daka, still maintains that same original status, how could he marry a Nesina? It's a love. Ikri Khan will apply the pasuk which says, he may not marry them. Apparently. He's no longer considered Bikdushas Yisrael, meaning within the realm of marriage. In the context of Nisuin, he broadens his options. Amar Rava. Rava responds and challenges Rav Sheshes' Raya. How could you compare? Otu Hasam. The issue of marrying a guy, is it based on Mishum Kedusha, Velav Kedusha? Is it based on Kedusha? No, absolutely not. It's not based on Kedusha. If it were based on Kedusha, I would understand that, even if they convert, like the Nesinim, they were Gerim. If the concern is Kedusha, I understand why you have to hold back from marrying the Nesina. That's not the issue. The reason why we don't marry Goyim is unrelated to Kedusha. Dilma Meilid Ben, rather it's the concern that when marrying a non-Jew, he will have a child, Ve'ozel Palach Lavetz Gechavim, who will then be diverted to idol worship. As the pasuk speaks about that concern, don't marry because that child might be taken over to the guy, to the Avodah Zarah. That's the concern. That's the basis for the Isser of intermarriage. And therefore, says Rava, we can very well understand it only applies when she's really a guy, but not when she converted. That's only when they're still going. Don't marry so that that child doesn't join the Avodah Zarah. But once they convert, like in the case of the Nesinim, Ki Megairi, be Yisrael, Shari, technically, Minat Torah, now they can marry a Yisrael. Why not? Why don't we? V'rabbanan u'dugazibru, as we're going to see later in the parak. There's a Gzerah midrabbanan, Yeshua, Bezdin of David. Don't marry them. They exhibited very negative character traits, etc. We're going to see later on. It's a din d'rabbanan. And now I can understand there'll be a distinction between a conventional Yisrael or a Ptzur Daka. You know why? When did the Rabbanan apply a gzir? When did they disallow marriage with a guy who converted? We're speaking about the Shiva Amamin, those seven nations, the regular guy who converts is okay. We're speaking about specifically the Nesinim, who were part of the original seven nations, present as Yisrael, and then they converted. So the Rabbanan made a gzera. You know who may not marry them? Bahanach de bnei aludi. Only a Yisrael who can bear children. Because look, it's similar to the Isser of marrying a guy. It sort of mirrors it. Don't marry a guy because that child will be taken to Avodah Zarah. Don't marry the Nesinim, Midrabanan, because of a similar concern. We're speaking about the same type of person. That's how Rashi learns it. It was modeled. The Gzera Midrabanan is modeled after the Isser Torah. Only a fellow who can have children has this Isser. Aval Hai. The Lav Bar Uludu. But I, Krishavcha, a Ptzur Daka, who can't bear children, Loi, Gazru, Midrabanan. I can very well understand there's no Gzera Midrabanan there. So that would explain the Braisa, why a Yisro Ptzur Daka is allowed to marry a Nesina. Again, Minat Torah, the Yisro only applies to a guy. once she converts, there's no Isra Minat Torah. It's a Midrabbanan. It only applies to a fellow who can bear children. A Tzudaka Yisrael doesn't have that Gzir. But you, Rav Sheshes, are trying to draw a parallel from there. You're trying to prove from there that a Tzudaka loses his Kedusha because he can't marry a regular Israel. He loses the Kedusha within the context of marriage and can marry anybody. And therefore, a Kohen as well, who is a Tzudaka, can marry a Giyaris, a Shechreris. Who's to say that's true? There's a specific heter here. A fellow who can't bear children doesn't have the gzera de rabbanon of marrying a nasin. Okay, but a kohen still has his kedusha and shouldn't marry somebody who is not meant to marry otherwise. Now the Gemara will just dwell on this criterion presented by Rava, that the gzera de rabbanon only applies to a fellow who can have children. El miat, if that's the case, mamzer. What happens to a mamzer? The bar eludi. He can bear children. Hachinami de aser. Rava, do you mean to say that a mamzer shouldn't marry a nasina? But none. We have a Mishnah. In Meseches Kedushin, mamzerim unasinim mutarim lovad abazeh. Mamzer and nasin can intermarry. So apparently that's not the prevailing criterion. Elor says the Gemara, okay, we'll switch it just to drop. Kigaz rabban b'ksher. Marrying a goy is marrying nasinim after gerus is only midrabbanon. And when do the rabbanon apply the gzera b'ksher? When it's a regular Yisrael kasher, b'psulim like as rabbanon, but not a pasul such as a mamzer. Or a tzodaka, etc. Why not? Why don't we have a gzera there? So Rashi says because it's a milsa deloy shchicha. It's not something which is common and prevalent. And we know the chachamim would not apply their gzeros to uncommon situations. Okay, but in any case, Rava still holds his ground. Rav Sheshes, you can't bring a raya to allow a kohen, tzodaka, to go ahead and marry a giyaris mishachreris. Perhaps he maintains his kedusha, despite the fact that he's limited in his options. He can't marry Yisrael. Still, he maintains his kedusha. He shouldn't go and defile his kedusha and marry somebody inappropriate. The fact that a Yisrael tzodaka can marry a nasinim, because look, the whole concept of a nasin is only drabonon, and was limited to ksherim but not to psul. So at this point, Rava challenged of Sheshes is halacha. Comes back to Gemara, Hadama Rava. Rava came back and says, no, you know what? Let's go along with Rav Sheshes. Lav milsa hi d'amri. What I said was incorrect. Begiyusan les luchasnas. Begiyusan. Begiyusan. Different gerses. Begiyusan evdichav les luchasnas. You see, what was Rava's argument? He said, look, minat Torah, intermarriage with a guy is only usher when they're a guy. That's the ikki isser. Once they are giyaris, like the nasinim, once they convert, there's no isser minat Torah. It's only the rabbanon. And as we explained, the Issur Rabbanon is only applicable in certain situations. That's how Rav explained the whole, sequence of events, the whole arrangement. Says Rav, it's incorrect. My starting point was inaccurate. You cannot say that the Issur of marrying a guy applies when they're actually goyim. You know why? B'yosin, over the gechavim, less luchasnus. There's no concept of marriage when they're still goyim. Rashi brought it a while ago. He says, "Bulas bal yeshlam." There's no concept of a kiddushin. You can't marry the guy. Doesn't exist. So the Torah says, "Don't marry a guy." Lois is chatin b'em. It can't be speaking about when they're still goyim. There's no marriage at that point. This is gairu. It's luchasnus. It's only once they are giyaris. And the concept of marriage kicks in. And here the Torah says, "Don't marry." Apparently, Nesinim may not intermarry, may not Torah. So even though they're Giyaris, even though they converted, Loisis Chatamam, don't marry the seven nations, the Shiva Amim, even after they're Geirim. So having said that, how do you explain the halacha mentioned in the Braisa that a Yisrael who's a betzua daka can't bear children, he can go marry none other than an asina? What do you mean? It's asa minat Torah. You can't say, well, it's only the Rabbanon in a certain case. It's minat Torah. That's the primary issa. Don't marry one of the Shiva Amamin after Gairis. Oh, apparently, a betzua daka, since he's unavailable for Yisrael, he can't marry Bas Yisrael. His options are limited. He loses that Kedusha, that designation, and he can marry in Asina as well. Likewise, says Rava, Rav Sheshes, you're on target. A Kohen as well, who's a betzua daka, who can't access a Bas Yisrael, his Kedusha, his designation, has been somewhat diminished and affected, and now he's free to marry even a Geyurus and Meshachreres, who he wouldn't have been allowed to marry otherwise. So that's the conclusion. And Tosfos asks a kasha. Here we say that the Isser of Leisus Chatin refers Dafka after conversion, and the Gemara of the Zora seems to just assume, take for granted, that interacting with a Goyish woman as married would be also min haTorah, even while she's still a Goy. So Tosfos said that the two is surim. You're right. Leisus Chatin bum, marriage, is only applicable after Geirus. That only applies once they're Nizgair, if it's from the, you know, seven nations. But the pasuk continues and says, "Bita lo sikach lebnecha." Don't, you know, even reach into that. You know, don't even take from them. Bita lo sikach. Even if there's no legal marriage, you're just interacting with him as married. That's also an isser. Therefore, certainly there's a makar with for interacting, for isser with interacting with a guy, whether through marriage, which would be after gerus, or even without a proper marriage, meaning while they're still in the state of goy. Okay, continues the Gemara. So you mean that chasnus, marriage, is not applicable by a goy? Moshe Rav Yosef, vayischaten shlemes bas pari, melech Mitzrayim, shlemei ha-melech. Vayischaten, marriage, with bas pari. Giyure gaira, he converted her, she was a Yisrael. We don't accept a Geirim at that high point in Jewish history. We wouldn't accept Geirim at that point. While Yisrael were living the high life, says the Gemara, Midu Hutama. Why don't we? Elul Shulcham Menachem. We're concerned that perhaps the guy is motivated by ulterior motives. He's attracted by our success and royalty, which he wants to take apart. But Holei Tzrichalei, here Bas Pari, a daughter of royalty, she didn't need it. Apparently she was driven and motivated by altruistic motives, L'shem Shemai. Okay, so he was Megayer. But still, she's an Egyptian. She's a first generation Mitzris, for which there's an Issa Torah. Right? And allowed to marry a Mitzris. Zakar Shlomo, do it. V'chitema, perhaps you'll say, Hanach Azil Amu. Yeah, the original Egyptians, they're gone. Rashi says they were drowned in the Yamsuf. V'anech Rineninu, these that live in Mitzrayim, that's the newcomers, they're not the native Egyptians. V'atanya, we have a Braisa which indicates otherwise. When it comes to Egyptians, these are the same ones. Amar Yehuda, Min Yamin, had a friend, Min Yamin, who was a Ger Mitzri. He was a ger from Mitzrayim. Hayali Chaver. He was for me a friend. Mi Talmida Rakiva. One of Talmida Rakiva. Amar Min Yamin. Planned out his life as follows. He says, look. Ani Mitzri Rishayin. V'nasatzi Mitzis Rishayin. Myself and my wife are both first generation Mitzrim. So I want to enable my generations to come to intermarry with Yisrael. So what am I going to do? Asi livni mitzvah shniyah. My son, who's a second generation mitzri, I'll get mashiach with another second generation mitzris, which is legal. Kadei shehei ben bni roi lova v'ko. So that my grandchild, who'll be a kosher Jew, can marry anybody. So clearly, even at that late point in history, they consider the Egyptians as the original ones. And the Isser of a Mitzri applies at that point. And how could Shlomo HaMelech marry the Mitzris? And Tosfos asks Akasha. He brings many sources throughout Shas that we assume Sancheriv came and just mixed everything up. He overturned Bilbil Kala'ilam, everything just totally displaced all the nations, and we no longer assume that the nations are the nations are the native original nations. So Tosfos says that applies to Ammon and Moav, as we find in the Gemara and Brachas, etc., but not when it comes to Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim had a 40-year gzera. The Pasuk in Yechezkel says promises to restore Mitzrayim after 40 years. So Mitzrayim was singled out. That's an exception. And the Mitzrayim are presumed to have been the same Mitzrayim. No, so that's the Kasha. How could Shlomo marry Bas Pari? Omar Papa, he never married her. He lived with her as married, but there was no actual marriage, and therefore there was no Isser of marrying a Mitzris. So she wasn't a guy because she was an Isgayer. Right? But as far as marriage, he kept away from that, and therefore there's no concern with the fact that she was a Ger Mitzri. Amar Papa, Anan Mishlema Leiku Venesiv. Are we going to ask for Shlema Melech? Shlema Leinasiv Midi. He didn't actually marry her, as the Pasuk clearly says. And there was no marriage that took place. Minaga Yimasha Amar Hashem El Bnei Yisrael Loisa Vayubahem. Veim lo yavoy bochem. Pasuk says, look, all those goyim who I warned you against interacting with them, ochen yatus levavchem acharei liheyem. They will make your hearts stray after their gods. Behem dovak shleim ola avo. Shleim HaMelech chose to connect to them, to take Bas Pari. So it wasn't marriage. Rashi says la avo. He had a desire. It was dear to him, but not in a ishus, in a marriage context. Elo kashe v'yischatin. So why does the Pasuk use the word v'yischatin, which seems to indicate marriage? It's tantamount to marriage. Mitoich ava yisira she'ava. Due to the excessive dearness which was exhibited by Shlomo HaMelech towards Bas Pari, Yimala olav akosav kilo mischatin bo. Torah relates to it as though there was a chasnus, but it wasn't really a marriage. So bottom line is, according to this point in the Gemara, interacting with a goy, a real goy, as married would be aser, based on what Tosfos said, that there's a pasuk for that too. Marriage technically doesn't apply in that case. By these seven nations, Shiva Amamin, including the Nasinim, even after they converted, there's an Israelite Eschat in Bum. We spoke about the Mitzris, which has an extra Isser, and that we addressed by the fact that we explained Shlomo HaMelech did not have an actual marriage there, so that took care of that. And also we had a Chiddush, that a fellow who can't bear children, whether he's a Yisrael, a Betzodak, a Krushavcha, he loses his Kedusha. Likewise, a Kohen in that state loses his Kedusha, and it allows them to marry women which they otherwise would not be allowed to marry, for instance, a Giyaris, a Meshachreris, or even a Nesina. Amli Ravina Rav Ashi, how can you say that? Vanan, Tanan, take a look at our Mishnah. Tzodaka, a Krushavcha, these individuals, who can they marry? They can't marry a Nesina. Mutarim begiyaris, meshachreres, ha ben asina asir. They can't marry an asina. So how can you allow it? Basically, a kasha on that brisa that a tzodak Yisrael can marry an asina. The Mishnah indicates otherwise. Amar le, Rav Ashi responds, "Vayitamech according to your diuk, ema seifa." What does the second part of the Mishnah say? Ve'enan asurin elam malavei bekal. These fellows should not marry a conventional Bas Yisrael. What does that sound like? Hob an Asina Shor. An Asina is not considered tkal, is mutter. Elam ha'olak el-mashim mino. Apparently this Mishnah is not trying to indicate anything, meaning it's sort of a, you have conflicting implications. The Reisha is mashma one thing, the Sefer something else, so you can't really bring a right from the Mishnah. Amoyni mayavi asurim v'isurin Yisraelim. A ger who arrives from the nation of Ammon or Moav may not marry Bas Yisrael. And this is a Isser Oilam, an ongoing perpetual Isser, first generation, second generation, third generation. There's no termination. Aval nikvayseh mutaris miyad. This only applies to males, but they're nikvayseh, a mutar immediately upon converting. Mitzivra daimi. a ger from the nation of Mitzrayim or Edom, Eina Masurim, Elad Shalai Shadaris, it only extends up until, not including the third generation, Echad Tzcharim, Echad Nekeva, so the ger itself and his child are Aser, but his grandchild is Mutah, as we had in the story with Yehuda and his, Rabbi Yehuda and his friend. And this applies to Echad Tzcharim, Echad Nekeva on both sides of the Mechitz. Rabbi Shimon Maters and Nekeva Smihad, he says, look, by Mitzrim and Adoimim, it's only an Isser for the Tzcharim and not the Kevas. Now prove it with a Kavachim. Omer Rabbi Shimon Kavachim and Advarim. Uma b'makim she'asar es ha'Tzcharim Yisrael. Take a look at the Ammon and the Moav. It's a forever Isser. So it has that Chumrah still. Hitter es ha'Nekevas miyad. The Isser was never applied to Nekevas. Certainly makim she'asar es ha'Tzcharim by the Mitzri and the Adoimim. Where the Isser, even to the Scharim, was only limited, Elash Leishaders, then of course, Einoidin Shanatars and Nekevas Miyad, the Isser should never apply to the Nekevas. That was his way of thinking. Amar Lo, Tanakam responded to him, the Chacham responded, look, it depends what you're sourced in. Where are you coming from? Im Halacha, if it's a Halacha you accepted from your Rebbe, Nekabal will accept it as fact. But Vim Ladin, if it's based on this Kavachimer, based on logic, yes, Shuvi, you should know we can refute that Kavachimer, and the Gemara will go into it. Amalami responds, Loiki, not so. You can't refute my Kavachemer, it's first of all. And secondly, on top of that, actually, Hanocha, Ani Oimer, it's coming from my Rebbe, it's a stated Haloch. Menonimili, how do we know that the Isser by the Amon and the Meyavim only applies to men and not Nekevis? Amar B'Yechanan, we have the whole story with Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech, which proves our point. Damakra. Bechirayis Shaul is David. Yoytze lekras haplishti. Shaul notices David going out to confront the plishti, Goliath. Amar, he turned El Avner Saratsava to his general Avner. Could you tell me ben mi zehanar? This nar, this youngster, whose son is he? Where, which family does he belong to? Ben mi zehanar? Avner, please tell me what's going on. Vayimer, Avner responds with a shvua, Chei Nafshach HaMelech, in the name of Shaul HaMelech, in his life, he made a shvua. Im Yodati, I swear that I have no idea who this is. What do you mean, Vayodalei? Avner did not recognize David. Voksiv, he was very familiar with David HaMelech, very close to him. Vayaveyu Moed, he had a special dearness to him. Vayiloi Noisei Kelim, he actually helped him with his equipment. So apparently it wasn't just a question of identity. It was something more than that. Elo a'avua komasho. Shaul was curious as to his lineage. Who is his father? V'aviv lo yadali. Sorry, v'aviv lo yadali. Shaul was not familiar with David HaMelech's father Yishai, a famous man. V'oksim v'ish v'mei Shaul, zakin boba anoshim. Yishai lived in the time of Shaul, was an older person. Boba anoshim, would come with people. He had a large entourage. Va'amar Rav, Yitim Rav Abba, Zeh, it's referring to Yishai, the father of David. Rabbi David, Shenichnas Bechlusa, Yotza Bechlusa, he would go in with the whole crowd. Rashi says, he was a general, over 600,000 people. Yotza Bechlusa, go out with Nechlusa. The most famous general in his time. What do you mean he didn't know who he was? Hachik Amar Shol, was referring to something more profound. I know who he comes from. I know he hails from Yishai, who comes from Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda had two sons, Peretz and Zorach. Where does David hail from? Where is he coming from? Who is his great-grandfather? Peretz or Zorach? And this had very significant implications. As per Shaul HaMelech's peace of mind, he felt threatened. He felt that David HaMelech was encroaching on his malchus, as we're going to see soon. So he wanted to know where he comes from. Which DNA does he have? Imi Peretz Asi? Imi Zorach Asi? Imi Peretz Asi? Does he come from Peretz? You know, very often one's name is truly indicative of his future personality, of his midos, of his destiny. Peretz is a lashon of piritza, breaching, power. Does he come from Peretz? Well, then I'm really concerned. Malka Havi, he's going to turn out to be a king, and overtake me. Shamelach pirates lasses derech v'imemachem b'yadei. We have the halacha that a king just breaches his way through without any objection. We can't get in his way. That's the koyach of a king. So is Paris his grandfather, which would indicate his future destiny as king? Im zorach asi. Does he come from Zorach? In that case, I'm okay. Chashiva ba'al mahavi is just an indication of future prominence. Zorach, illumination. He'll lead. He'll occupy a position of prominence, but he won't threaten my position, my leadership. That was his question. Why was he so into this? My time amrle sha'alale. Why was he telling Aaron to figure this out? What prompted this investigation? Because the pasuk says, "Vayalvish Shaul is David, Madav kimidase." Shaul, who was very tall, took his own begadim, and in a show of dearness to David, this was way back, years before, he put it onto David HaMelech, and it fit him perfectly. Uksiv beBeShaul, and actually Shaul was very tall. Mishich meMamal Gavay Mekalam. Shaul was head and shoulders above everybody else, extra tall, and when he put it on David HaMelech, not long before this whole story, so when he put it on to David HaMelech, suddenly it sort of shrunk and fit him perfectly. It was a perfect custom fit. It was a miraculous, expression of dearness from Hashem. And Shaul took it as a threatening sign. He says, "Look, what's going on? The royal robes are suddenly fitting this fellow who's so much smaller than I am." And therefore, he started investigating as to his, familial roots. So he asked Avner to look into his background. And there was another fellow standing by. Amrle Doyeg HaAdoimi. Doyeg got up and he says, "Look, Achata Mashal Olav. Before you start asking about him, Im Hagan Hula Malchus, if he's fit for royalty, Im Lav or not, Shal Olav. Why don't you ask Im Roy Lava Bakal Im Lav, whether he's even fit to marry in the fold, whether he's even Roy to be accepted in the community? My time, why not? Don't you know that his grandmother is Rus from Moav? We don't accept Moav people." That was Doyeg's input. Amali Avner. So Avner took on David HaMelech's defense. He says, "Tanina, what do you mean? We have a Mishnah, Bryce. Moav v'lei Moavis. This halacha only relates to the men, not to the women. Rus is a female. He doesn't taint his background. He's fully right to marry and to become a king." Elamiata. So Doyeg responded, "What about the word mamzer in the Torah? Are you going to tell me v'lei mamzer is only a male mamzer is problematic, but not a female?" Responds Avner, "What do you mean? Mamzer ksiv. It says mamzer. What does mamzer mean? It's a joint word, mumzar, a blemish due to inappropriate foreign behavior. The Torah is giving you the reason, the basis for the psul mamzer. And that applies equally to men and to women. You can't differentiate. What about Mitzri?" That was his next question. "What about Mitzri? You can tell me V'loi Mitzris? Only affects the men and not the women?" Responds Avner, "There's a special reason why pertaining to Avon, Amoinu, Moyav, it's limited to men. Shani Yachadim Afarish time of the Krah, the Pasuk explains why we distance them. Allah Shalai Kidmu Eschem Alechem B'mayim. Due to the fact that they failed to greet you with bread and water on your way out of Mitzrayim. And only the men are to blame, not the women. Darkei shel ish lekadem. Well, darkei shel ish lekadem is the way of the man to go and greet and to go present. Women stays home. So only men are accountable, not women." Responds Doyeg, "What do you mean? Hayolem lekadim anoshim lekras anoshim, v'noshim lekras noshim. Sure, the women should have came out, should have greeted the women. The men should have looked after the men, and the women after the women. Ishtik." That argument silenced Avner. He never responds. Okay, so now it was up in the air. Does the Isra of the Amoni and the Avi pertain to only men or even to women? Miyad, immediately, vayomer melech. So this is going back to that pasuk we had in the beginning of the sugya. So Shaul took Avner to task. He says, "Look, you're here to defend David HaMelech. You got to find out." Vayemer HaMelech Sha'al at ben mi zeh ha'elam. So go to the base medrash and find out the halacha. how to treat this Elam. What kind of status does he have? Now, Hosam Karle Nar. Initially, the Pasuk refers to him as a Nar. Hocha Karle Elam. And then he switches to Elam. Why the change in terminology? Hocha Karle, he meant to tell him like this. Halacha Nis Alam Mukhaluk. You forgot this halacha. This halacha has been concealed from you. Sevish al beis hamedrash. Go ask in the basement. Shaul, he went to the basement. Amalei, and they told him, no problem. Amoini v'lehim amoinis. Mayavi v'lehim mayavis. He's okay. Rus was a female, unaffected by this halacha. Okay, Doyeg didn't let go. Actually, who Doyeg kolanik shiasas? Doyeg bombarded them with all his questions. How can you be machsherit? What do you mean? Ishtiku. So they were stumped. They couldn't respond. So they wanted to proclaim him as being possible. Miyad, immediately somebody else came to his defense. Va'amasa ben ish v'ishmoy Yisrael Israeli ashebala ba'avigayil bas nachash. He came to David's defense. Here, the pasuk refers to him as Yisro ha'Yisraeli. And elsewhere it says, uksiv yeser ha'Yishmaeli. So which one is it? Amarava Yishmaeli is describing what he did. Malamed shechogar charbe ki yishmo. He grabbed on his sword like a Yishmael, like an Arab, Omar, and he's threatened. He says, kol mish heine shemei halacha zu yidoke becherev. Whoever disregards this halacha that I'm about to say will be struck by this cherev. He should know. Kach mikublani mebeis dinei shel Shmuel haRamasi. This is a halacha that I, myself, was mekabel from the bezn of Shmuel from Ramah. Amoini is dafka the male. V'lo yamoinis. Mayavi, you can't join Klal Yisrael. V'lo yamoinis. That's it. It's an absolute fact. And this is Machshir David HaMelech. Says the Gemara, how can you believe him? When suddenly he shows up in the middle of the story. Perhaps he has an agenda that he's pursuing. Umi Mehemen, can you believe a Talmud Chacham who's testifying and presenting a halacha? Maybe he's being opportunistic. Maybe it's not Naaman. It's not to be relied upon. Vamar ba'abam marav, kol Talmud Chacham shemoyra halacha upa. When Talmud Chacham comes and presents a halacha, im kaidem ma'ase amra, if it's before the fact, while they're learning the sugya, presents a halacha, he says, look, I know this halacha from my Rebbe, shemoyra, we trust it, we believe it. Vim la, but if it's in the middle of the heat of a debate, suddenly he shows up with a halacha, hey, shemoyra, you can't trust him. Now Tosfos points out, this is dafka when the Talmud Chacham perhaps has an interest. He has some sort of gain or benefit from this halacha, as we find in this case, because Amasa was Ben Ish. And Tosfos brings a drasha that he was a descendant of Yishai Avi David, so he was also part of that family. So perhaps he was pursuing his own agenda. But he says otherwise, if it's just an impartial halacha, nothing to do with him, then of course we trust him. But in this case, Davka, perhaps he was pushing his own agenda, showing up in the middle of the story and presenting a halacha in the name of the Bezn of Shmuel. How could you believe him? Says the more Shani Hacha. Here it's very, very different than your typical the Shmuel Ubeis Dinei Kayim. Look, Shmuel and his Bezn are right there. Go and ask them. Nobody would lie to this effect. So bottom line is, he informed them of an accepted halacha established by Shmuel and his Bezn. We darsh in the pasuk in that manner. Rus HaMavi is perfectly fine. And likewise, David HaMelech. Says the Gemara, what about that kashi that was presented by Doyeg HaAdoimi? You're not blaming the women of Ammon and Moav. What do you mean? They should have come out and greeted the women. So why don't we distance them as well? Answers the Gemara, Hocha Tergum in Bavel, they explained, they answered. Anisha is not meant to be roaming around, even if she's trying to look after the other nashim. Kol Kvuda Balas Melach Plima, Anisha stays inside. Marava Amrin, as the Shole said, Vitema Rabbi Yitzchak, maybe Rabbi Yitzchak, Omakra, we have another source from the Pasuk in Vayera. Vayomru Ela Vayesar Eshtecha, the Malachim wondering as to the whereabouts of Sarah, and he said, look, Hine Ba'el, she's in the tent, apparently that's where she belongs. And Torah doesn't hold them to task for not coming out and treating the Bnei Yisrael. So bottom line is, Rusa Miyavia was fine to marry a fine Jewish man who happened to be Boaz. And consequently, David HaMelech was fit, was kosher. David HaMelech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Okay, so what did we learn today? A couple of things. We started with Nikav. So if there was a puncture in the Evar HaZachar, and it was healed, it was Nistam properly, then it's fine. He's back to normal. Can we make a test to determine, you know, the health of that scab or whatever? Yeah, we do a keri test. We try to get some zera accumulated in that makim, and then we see how it holds up. The Gemara concluded, this only concerns us in the Atara itself, because below the Atara there's never a concern. It could even be removed completely. And as Rashi points out, above the Atara, there's never an issue of pressure and accumulation. How do we test out this fellow? We use the Lechem Cham formula to generate the Zera, which gives us that test. In two halachas, we don't follow Rabba and Rabba Rav Huna. Rabba's Chiddush, that one who's Matl Mayim Meshtei Mekoymes, that's a concern, we don't agree with that. Nor do we hold like Rav Huna that the Noshim, who interact with each other as married, is just Pritzis, but doesn't turn them into a Zoyna, they're still right to marry a Koyim. Rav Sheshes came up with a great Chiddush, that a fellow who's a Ptsuodaka, since he no longer can access a Bas Yisrael, he's considered somewhat downgraded in terms of marriage, downgraded from his restriction. So a Kohen can marry a Giyoris, Mishachreres, a Yisrael, can marry a Nasina. And that's the conclusion of the Gemara. Shlomo Melech interacted with Bas Pari after she became a Giyoris, L'Shem Shamayim. But he didn't actually marry her because she was a mistress, to which nobody can, Yisrael is not meant to marry. We learned in the Mishnah that a mitzvah and a doimi are accepted in the fold, but cannot marry up until three doiras. They can't marry Yisraelim. This applies to Scharim and Akevas. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Akevas aspect. He says they're mutter right away. And by the Amon and Moyav, it's a la'olam. It goes on perpetually. It doesn't stop at three generations, but it's limited to Scharim. As we had the drasha, amoynis, mayavi v'lemayavis, the women are not held to task because, as we explained, kol kvuda bas melach pnima, she meant to stay inside and was not expected to go out and greet Klal Yisrael, and therefore they don't suffer the consequences. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.